I'm speaking tonight on blessing. What does it mean when we say we bless someone or we ask God's blessing? To bless someone is to call upon God to impart to them special grace, special strength, special encouragement. And so when we pronounce a blessing, it is not that we have some magical powers. We have none. But we are asking God to do something especially spiritual and blessed to the individual. All blessings contain in Scripture that idea that they are the source of grace and strength and power from God Himself. And I'd like to mention a few blessings before we get to the book of Revelation. There are seven blessings in Revelation. But I'd like to mention that this is a frequent thing in Scripture. In the book of Psalms, we have some tremendous blessings. In Psalm 1, to those who do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the blessing comes. In Psalm 2, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. In Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 84:5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Ah, yes, what a wonderful inspiration those blessings in the Psalms are. But you know, the Lord Jesus himself provided a whole series of beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a tremendous impact that has upon our lives when we consider what he is saying about the power and grace of God resting upon his people as they encounter so varied experiences. I'd like you to look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. This is the first of the Beatitudes that appear in the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now that is our memory verse. We're working on that verse, and I hope it will be second nature to you before we're through with all of this. But this is something that we must recognize. The blessing of God, the grace, the strength, the encouragement, spiritually speaking, that occurs to the believer when he is focusing his attention upon God's holy word. The one who reads, the one who hears, those who keep these words. That is where the blessing comes. And it's an experience that all of us can achieve because all of us have the word in front of us. All of us can work on the word, hide it in our hearts, treasure it, and think upon it during the day. This is what's important for us all. And he assures us that that blessing is there. And it's a foretaste of the time being at hand. No one knows when the last days will appear. It could be today that the Lord will come back for his own and the catastrophic tribulation period be upon the earth. No one knows how much time he has. All of us need the blessing of God. All of us need to meditate upon the scriptures which produce that blessing of God in our lives. It's important for us to learn God's purpose and to understand what he is doing in the world. And that's why we look at the book of Revelation. It tells us what is going on. But our thoughts must be centered upon God. We have no strength of ourselves. We are not able to accomplish his work, but he is. He is able to do it through us. But that means we've got to be thinking about His Word, letting Him work through us consciously, letting His power and grace and blessing come through us to touch the lives of others. We have no grace to impart to anyone. We have no service that is acceptable unless it be strengthened and imparted by the grace of God. Then our words count. Then our deeds are powerful for Him. But He must supply us that grace and strength. And so blessed is the man who saturates himself with the Word of God, because the time is at hand. He needs God's strength and grace. In chapter 14 of Revelation, dropping down to verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now that tells us there's a division among mankind. The people who die who know not the Lord are not blessed. God's grace is not upon them. But if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, God's grace is upon you. And when you come to the point of death, it should never be with panic or concern, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when it's time for you to go home, that's exactly what you will do. You will go home into His presence to fellowship with the saints who have gone before you. Death is not something that is terrifying to the believer, because he knows the blessing of God. This is important for us to recognize, that God's blessing means that we are able to face even death without trembling. Even the departure from this life is not terrifying, because God's strength and grace rests upon those who know the Lord Jesus. Blessed is that man who dies in the Lord, because there is no death for him. It is simply a gateway into the presence of the Lord, and life continues at a vastly increased measure in the presence of the Savior that he loves. In chapter 16 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus says, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, maintaining a good testimony, maintaining a clear walk with God, is an important thing for the believer. You are living your life in the full view of the wicked world that does not understand what you are doing and often misinterprets what you are doing. But they can certainly recognize someone who trusts in God and walks with God. This is a testimony the world does not have and is very impressive. They may not say it, but they're watching. You may rest assured that everywhere there are people who are watching your conduct, because they know you profess to be a Christian. They know you go to church and they don't. And they're watching to see if there are weaknesses in the walk, that they may gratify themselves that you are just like they are. Now, that's something that every Christian must remember. On a day when you are tempted to just sleep in on Sunday, remember you have neighbors watching your car on Sunday morning. They wouldn't care to go to church, but they're watching you. And if you play hooky, oh, are they happy. You're just like they are. And it salves their conscience. This is the thing that we must remember in all regards. The wicked world is watching us. They're looking for discrepancies in our conduct. They're hoping that we will stumble and fall. But by the grace of God, we have a testimony to live. Blessed is that person who is careful, who is armed, who is well clothed in the righteousness of Christ, who lives a life of testimony that even his unbelieving neighbors can watch and see, yes, here's someone who really does serve God. Believe me, friends, they are watching. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9, the angel said to me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a tremendous privilege that is, because the marriage supper of the Lamb is the great kingdom reign of God, that 1,000 years of peace, when the earth shall know peace and righteousness and blessing such as it has not in its entire history. Blessed are those people. The martyrs during the tribulation period are going to miss that. They go immediately to the presence of God. But the survivors at the end will be ushered into that kingdom reign, will be the nucleus from which the earth is repopulated during that 1,000 years of peace. Blessed are those people who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But all are called. All are invited. They may not all get there, but we too are in some sense invited to that marriage supper. Now, we are invited to share in that blessed kingdom reign. Now, friends, we must recognize that that kingdom reign is going to be a manifestation of the power of God upon earth. There won't be any crime. There won't be any poverty. There won't be any rebellion such as we have it today. It will be a reign of peace, because the Prince of Peace will be the great King, and the effects of righteousness will maintain that peace. We cannot have peace on earth now because there is no righteousness. There is wickedness instead upon the earth. But when Christ reigns in that kingdom, there shall be perfect righteousness and perfect peace as well. Now, the bride is certainly the combined people of God in the book of Revelation, the Old Testament and New Testament saints of God. And there's going to be a great wedding celebration for the bride. But that wedding celebration is going to be in His presence in glory, not upon the earth. The bride, the people of God of all ages, are going to be in His presence, not just for a little while, but forever. And that celebration will never end. We think it is a marvelous occasion when we have great music and the Word of God proclaimed, as we have in services like this one. But this is just an anticipation, just something to whet your appetite. When that glorious fellowship is on and the bride rejoices in the presence of her bridegroom, that will be a celebration that will never end, a celebration that will go on throughout the ages. Every marriage is supposed to have that love that continues on. Well, sometimes it diminishes in human form, but in celestial form it will not. The great love between Christ and His people will only increase as the ages roll on. The celebration will never end. The loving bond can only grow stronger as the ages continue, and the saints more and more are at home in the presence of the Lord of the universe and able to sing His praises better and better. In chapter 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There is a different way of looking at that kingdom reign. Blessed and holy is one who has part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection to life, when the Lord comes back and pronounces the word, rise, and the saints will be caught up into His presence. And those who are dead in Christ throughout the ages will be transformed. They are already with the Lord in spirit form. They will at that moment gain resurrection bodies. Those caught up into His presence will a split second later have their bodies transformed into resurrection bodies. And there, in complete, triumphant perfection, they will be able to sing His praises, able to fellowship together with the saints, and they shall reign with Him 1,000 years. What grace that poor, feeble people such as we are will be part of the ruling dynasty in heaven. What grace that He should choose that such small creatures as we are may share His great kingdom reign. We are all kings and priests because of Christ. He is our great King. He is our great High Priest. And because we are married to Him, we shall share in that great and blessed reign. 1,000 years of peace upon the earth. The world has never seen it. That will be the one time in the history of the world that there will be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the church, the combined people of God of all ages, shall reign with Him forever, not just 1,000 years. The millennial reign is the test case to prove that Christ can rule upon the earth where all other kings had failed. But when He finishes that reign, He does not stop reigning. He reigns forever, not just over the earth, but over the universe. And His people, His bride, shall reign with Him forever and ever in triumph and blessedness because of Him. In chapter 22, verse 7, the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Keep, treasure. That is the word to keep, which means you're going to guard, you're going to treasure something. It is something that you value extremely highly. If you keep the prophecies of this book, hide the Word of God in your heart, fill your heart and mind and conscience with the Scriptures, then that blessedness will rest upon you. That pathway is open to every one of us. Every one of us can think about the Word of God. Every one of us can memorize verses of Scripture. Every one of us can repeat to ourselves precious verses, memory verses, and keep practicing them. And that is what this is all about, to keep the prophecy of this book, to remember the blessed words of God, that grace and strength and power from God may be worked into our lives moment by moment, day by day. All of us face challenges every day. All of us have difficult situations to face. No one is immune. And that Word, this blessed Word of God, is what provides that spiritual strength that we need, gives us sustaining grace, empowers our testimony for Him. This is where the blessedness comes. Friends, we need that special blessing of His Word. We need to be thinking about the Word. When you forget about this blessed book, then you actually worry. When you forget this book, then you stumble. But when you're thinking about God's Word, it's a protection to you. His Word garrisons your heart. That peace of God is there because God's Word is there. You're remembering what He says. You're pleased with what He says. You're trying to obey what He says. That's an armor about you in this wicked world. And when we forget about it, we discover how easy it is to get punctured by the fiery darts of the devil. We've got to remember that this Word is a tremendous source of blessing, that we should saturate our soul with this book. We should constantly be thinking of this book and the words that are there, because this is the source of blessing, strength, and power. In chapter 22, verse 14, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Blessed are those who actually practice what the Word of God says. This is the hard part. It is not so hard to memorize a verse of Scripture, but to practice what is there, to live it out in the life, day by day, as we are walking this pilgrim pathway, this is what is very difficult indeed. But blessed are those that continually do keep on practicing His commandments. The blessedness here is spelled out for us, that they may have right to the paradise of God. My friends, God loves His bride intensely, and He is preparing something there that is absolutely spectacular. Everyone knows that it's a great refreshment to take a vacation, to get out among the trees, to smell the pine-scented air, to see the beauties of nature. There's something inherently relaxing about that. That's why we like to go to the wild. It's nice to smell that pine-scented air up there. But you all recognize to get out in the beauties of nature is a very pleasant experience. God made you that way because He has already planted the garden. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. It didn't die. His life cannot die. It was transplanted to heaven. But now in this chapter we learn that it's no longer a single tree. It's a forest. It's a forest of trees that line the banks of the stream of life that flows from the throne of God. It's a whole park filled with trees. The redwoods have been there only 1,000 years or so. They're 300 and some feet tall. The tree of life has been there now how many thousands of years? And it's a forest, all growing, waiting for us. It is a park, a celestial garden, God's place of pleasure for His people. For He knows we enjoy the beauties of nature, and that celestial city is a garden. It is not concrete. There won't be a single asphalt street in heaven. It is a place that He has made for us that is delightful, because everywhere the tree of life grows. And the water of life flows from the throne. And I think to myself, here upon earth, the trees are places where creatures live. And the streams are places where creatures live. And I wonder what He has there to surprise us in the creatures that are there. Don't think that people are the only inhabitants of heaven. Everyone loves a good pet. If you've never had a pet dog or a pet cat, you know, you may not believe that. But most of you have, and you realize there's a bond there with a little creature. I can't believe that God grows a forest of trees in heaven without having some inhabitants there. It's going to be a place of spectacular beauty, very great comfort and enjoyment. He knows what we appreciate. He knows how we love nature and pets and other things. Every good thing is waiting for you. He wouldn't deny you anything that would increase your joy in heaven. If He gives you His own dear Son, what will He withhold from you? No, He has prepared a place more spectacular than anything we could imagine, more comforting and enjoyable than anything we could arrange here on earth. And that is His home for His bride. It will never disappear. It will never be destroyed. It is a place where we may dwell in His presence with joy and pleasure for endless ages, because He loves His bride. And He's going to do everything He can. And He can do everything He wishes for His bride. My friends, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are blessed beyond imagination. He will spend ages of divine ingenuity making you happy, comfortable, and blessed for all eternity because He loves you. Our question is, do we love Him as we should? Every head bowed. O Lord, how we thank Thee for the privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior. How we thank Thee for that blessed salvation that we have in Him. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt cause us to think of who Thou art and what Thou hast done for Thy people. And Lord, we seek Thy blessing. We ask that blessing. And we pray that Thou wilt help us through Thy word to walk humbly with Thee and to serve Thee diligently from the heart, that the Lord Jesus may be pleased. Give us grace. Let Thy blessing rest upon Thy people. Strengthen us for the task. Make us good testimonies for the Lord Jesus, that we may go forth from this place singing Thy praises in our hearts, living for Thee, walking in the blessing of God. Help us, Lord, that we may walk with Thee. For Jesus' sake, Amen.